From Israel to the U.S., Noah Ronan has found out a lot about herself and how she can now help people. We got the chance to talk about how her coaching company came about and how the people coming to her with the same kinds of challenges led her to start Noah Ronan Coaching. With so many leaders and executives not sure how to communicate and lead, once a company gets to a certain size, she realized she had the ability to help them. Understanding how to manage one's energy and even how to distinguish whether it's doing energy or being energy is a big part of what she does. We barely scratched the surface, but this high energy conversation is sure to leave you wanting to learn more. If you're an executive wondering how to lead in a new era, Noah's an excellent person to get to know. Find her at noahronancoaching.com or Noah R. Coach everywhere on social media. Got something for you in this conversation. Yeah.
And I said, how about I just start doing podcasting? Like, guest, I don't want to. I kind of like debating if I want to host the podcast.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I really like having those podcast conversations much more than speaking on stage.
You know, and it seems like it tickles the same spots in your brain. Like, I'm not a professional public speaker. I get asked to do it every once in a while, but I love doing it. But this is like, hey, you know, yeah, you and I are having a one-on-one conversation, but, you know, we're able to speak to a larger audience. But then they can't like ask a bunch of questions, so we can talk about whatever without anybody interrupting us.
Yeah, and that's what I like. That's what I like about it. That's what gets me. Like, I actually get pumped from being on those conversations. It feels I'm about doing it real, being real, and yeah. So I started recording. So
yeah, I sneak up there. I sneak up. Yeah, we're good. It's good. I like to just jump into things. I got that idea from like the Joe Rogan podcast where, you know, oh, the Joe Rogan Experience, and then boom, and they're already halfway through a conversation. Oh, goodness, right? So that's the look and feel of this. Well, since you caught me recording you, I guess we can start asking some of these questions, huh?
Yeah.
Here we go. So I did a little bit of looking, but for the folks at home, right? What does your company do? Let's start there.
Yeah. So I am my company. I am a coach, an author, a speaker. And I say that I'm encouraged and I engage that capital C in the encourage from the word courage, because what I talk about is dare, from the daring, dare to be. So I encourage people to just look beyond the solution that keeps them stuck. I believe that many times it's not the problem that we're stuck with, but with a specific solution that keeps us stuck. So I work on that with leaders and social leaders and executives and teams and individuals to help them get to where they want to go and look beyond the solution they believe that's going to be the solution that saved their way. I always believe that there is a different solution we can look at. And many times it's like, I believe this is the solution, or this is the solution, and that's why I'm stuck. And I say there's probably a third solution we're not looking at right now.
Yeah.
So creating that awareness.
That's really cool. I think that our brains seem to be wired up in such a way to conserve energy, and it's by design, right? Mm-hmm. And so often we think, well, this has to work. You know, it's really just because our brains don't want to consume more calories and think of other solutions, but when we think of other stuff, it helps you get unstuck. So, yeah. Well, what kinds of things? Well, sorry, I interrupted. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that beyond that, it's like, if that's the solution, why don't I see results, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where we get stuck. It's like, why it works for Michael and it doesn't work for Noah? So what's going on here?
Right. Yeah, that perspective is really helpful, because so often we get like focused on ourselves and be like, you know, I got to do this thing. And it's like, well, look up and look around. And is it actually working? You know, how do you know you're doing the right thing? You know, if you're not getting the results you think you should, then maybe try something else. That's a question we don't ask ourselves very often. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, well, what kinds of things do, like you said, you work with executives, like, are there certain common things that they come to you like, oh my goodness, no, I can't figure out how to X. Like, What is X in this case? What's most common?
It's actually relationships. Many times it's how we communicate or how we, a lot of people get to where they get because they are really good at solving problems or at one on a specific thing that they're very good at. And then when they get to the next phase, suddenly that strength is not helping them, is actually getting in the way. And many times it's their style of communication or maybe pushing too fast into action because that's what they always did and what brought them to where they are, because the people that push and, you know, solve problems and know how to do things fast, suddenly when there is a phase that driving those things is not enough. There is more, and that specific more is the work we do together, because it worked until now, but now it's not relevant anymore. And it happens also when you know, when I started my own business, and maybe we'll get to that later. But for me, I'm not originally from the US. I moved from Israel to the US, started in New York City. Now I'm in North Carolina. So all the things that worked for me and brought the success in Israel made me being stuck for 5 years. So I see that in the process when I work with people, whether they are executives, leaders, what worked for them suddenly in that new situation doesn't work. And then they feel stuck and they are not sure because they are using what always worked for them and suddenly it doesn't. So many times it's in relationships with people. Sometimes it's such suddenly they realize that they were very tactical. And when you move into executive roles, you need to be more strategic. So it's more about learning to what I say, you know, Sheryl Sandberg talks about leaning in. I actually tell them, lean back, lean back. And right now I'm leaning in, but think about it. If I lean back, there is that space that we create. And sometimes we are too close to see what needs to be seen. Maybe we are too close to other people and we need to lean back, delegate more and give them more space. Sometimes we're so focused on problem solving and being tactical that we don't coach or teach other people how to solve problems. And sometimes because we're so tactical, we don't listen. So when we lean back, we create that space that allows us to listen, to strategize more, to plan more, to be more proactive. So I actually bring that in a lot of different conversations. How can we lean back and create that space that we need to take ourselves to the next step?
This is profound stuff. And I mean, it's always, the solution's always going to be in the last place you look 100% of the time. If something's not working, it's like, what do I have to do different? And it's like, you got to have people that can see like an even bigger perspective than what you would if you were to lean back and say, okay, what's really the full picture here? And on the outside looking in, I mean, it seems like every company, they're gonna hit that point, like you said, where when they're a startup, they got to run and gun. They got to, you know, just do the things, use their hands and stuff. And then when they get bigger, it's like, okay, well, I can't be in the trenches with people. I have to be able to get back and be like, okay, what are our goals, and trust people, like you said, and really help the company move forward. So that's what you do for work, huh? You help people figure out what the heck.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. You know, for them it's not fun. They are, you know, they feel stuck or don't, you know, not where they want to be. And by the way, it's not always the situations. There are some people who will come and say, "Hey, I'm in a, you know, from good to great. I'm in a good place. I want to take myself to great." And that's more of that sustainability, and that's a different conversation, by the way. It's more of like, how can I keep myself sustainable and sustained and consistent with what I want to take myself to the next step? So it's not always that you reach out to a coach when everything is in, you know, the worst situation or when you're stuck. Sometimes it's when I am, I just want to take myself to the next level. And how do I do that? I want to look beyond. So there are different levels of where people are, but it's really so much to just enjoy the conversations. I really find so much joy in those conversations. It wasn't fun for me when I was stuck, right? For five years.
Right. Well, I can tell that you really enjoy what you do because you've had the biggest grin on your face when you're talking about how you help people. And that's neat that you started a company where you can help folks in that fashion and really like bring your whole self to the table, not just a fragment or a facet, but like everything, all the experiences that you've had in life leading up to today, right now, this podcast, you're able to like bring that to everybody. So that's really cool. Now, how did you decide to start up the company? Like, what was it that made you say, I got to go do this thing?
So actually, you know, a lot of the stories that I hear is I really wanted to get out of corporate or whatever. I wanted to be in that free space. And that was actually not my story. Mm-hmm. If we roll back, I started in corporate in Israel. I loved working inside companies. And then I moved to the US for a job opportunity for my husband with two little kids. And what I see is that I thought things will be very easy after we adapt and I will find my job, but it wasn't. I couldn't find jobs that were fulfilling for me. And I was so frustrated. And there were a lot of emotions, from anger to it's not fair, to shame of how that get it done. Executives suddenly can't see results. What's going on with me, right? It's very frustrating. And there was a moment that I decided that since nothing is working for me, I need a break. And it was after a big fail. I tried to apply for a certification exam, took it for the first time and failed, took it the second time. And I was so close. I was 6 points from passing that exam, but I didn't. And in that moment, I left that testing center, if that's how you call it, and decided that I'm taking a break. Mm-hmm. I need to figure out my life. Things not working for me. And I realized that I am stuck. So I took some time off and I started blogging. Yeah. So like podcasting today is like that big thing. Blogging was then huge. It was new. And I didn't come like before with the forcing of I need to change my life in the US or I need this blog to create a success for myself. It was just a need for me to write. I just wanted to write. I really wanted to write. And I was excited about starting blogging. I knew I wanted to write, but I never did that before. So I wrote in Hebrew, my first language, not even in English. So it was just like, I need to have that creative outlet. And that's when things changed for me because people liked what I was writing about and they started responding. And Israeli magazines asked me to write about, I just wrote about being Israeli mom in the US and living in New York City. And then they asked me to write about traveling with kids in New York City. And then people reach out to me and ask me how it is to move and live in Brooklyn, which became like really cool place to live in. And I say to myself, I have a business. I have something there.
Yeah.
So I start this relocation consulting business. And when I launch with that website, women from the US, Israeli women that live in the US in different states, same week when I launched that website, call me and tell me the same thing. I didn't know them. They didn't know each other. So just like that weird thing is happening and they call and tell me the same thing.
Yeah.
How did you do that? How did you figure out that this is what you want to do? We are so stuck with our lives. Can you coach me? Mm-hmm. And that's how I got into coaching. I didn't coach them. It's not like in the sitcoms that you see that the next morning I woke up and I said, okay, I'm a life coach now. I didn't even know what coaching was. So apparently there was a father in my daughter's class that was an actor and a coach, which very common in New York City, the actor and something else. And we had a conversation and I decided to go. And I took a year to study that and become certified in that. And that's how I became a coach, and started my business. And then the same thing happened. People came to me and say, hey, you're the way you talk, the way you speak, you're so engaging and funny. Where can we hear you speaking? And I was like, oh, come on. English is my second language. And they were like, no, really, where can we hear you speaking? So I went to Toastmasters, worked on my speaking skills in English because I never had a problem to speaking. Audience is mostly what I did through my life in training and consulting. So I started speaking and then people said, where is the book?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that actually the path of my business was not because I said, this is what I want to do, but actually people calling on me and saying, hey, we see something in you. Mm-hmm. Show up. And in a way, I do that with my clients, right? Yeah. I see something in you, show up, or you don't realize, you know, reconnect with that spot with you. And really what I believe that blog was allowing me was to reconnect with myself through those feedbacks that I got from people and remind myself that I am resourceful. Mm-hmm. And I think we feel that right now in this COVID reality, right? That we don't have that social connection. How do I remind myself that I'm resourceful? How do I remind myself that I can create and do those things? So for me, getting into having this company was actually connection with people that reminded me that I am resourceful again and again and again. So
yeah. That is cool. You know, there are a lot of people in life that push forward and they say, this is the direction I'm going to go. And this is what I'm doing. I'm the commander of my soul. And you know what? The people that I've met over the years that just really enjoy life in general, they're the ones who, I don't want to say they lack direction, right? But they're open to opportunities. They're open to, well, these are the people that are in my life. And this is what people are coming to me about. And these are the conversations I'm having. Maybe I don't need to just keep doing whatever it is they're doing. Maybe I need to pivot just a little bit. And then some great things happen. I'm kind of a mix of both. Like part of me is like, yeah, I'm focused on this over here, but also I know that people are coming to me about different things. I'm like, why not both? Right. You know, and then you end up coming up with a new niche or something. This is really cool.
So I have to respond to that and say that first, even in that there is some structure, right? You can't, I don't know if it's going to be on video too, your podcast, but in the background, you can see I have sticky notes. So that's my strategy. That's my business strategy.
I was going to ask you about that. I'm like, it's kind of, it's colorful.
Yeah. So there is, even in the joy of being open, there is some work we need to put into that. And that's also something that I struggled along the way. But I want to pay attention to something that is important because before the blog, I did try to find everything on my way. I did try to make the universe giving me exactly the same reality that I had in Israel in my new situation. And it didn't work. I tried everything, at least in my capacity, to believe that I'm doing everything I can to get there. But actually enforcing everything, what I didn't realize, and that's what I talk about. I say that we have two energies. We have the doing energy, the actions, and the being energy, which is the mindset, the emotions, the thoughts, and fears, aspirations. And I worked for my actions from the doing energy. I didn't realize that in those 5 years that I was trying to force everything to happen the way I want, I didn't pay attention to the being energy. And there was a very mean voice there telling me, you will never be able to create what you had in Israel in the US because that's your second language and you are not good enough with English.
Yeah.
And for me, as I mentioned earlier, speaking was my forte. That's how I influenced when I was management consultant. That's what I knew. I knew to get into a room, to open my mouth, to speak and create that special energy that influenced people to go on my way or teach them or train them, whatever it is, or lead them. And suddenly it doesn't feel the same way. It doesn't mean that my English was really bad, but in my head, it was not good enough.
Right.
And I self-sabotaged myself along the way. And part of the work I do today with the people I work with and teams is to understand that we can't just work from the actions. There is not doing leadership or doing business or doing life. It's engaging the being and the doing. It doesn't mean that the being is more important than the doing and doing is more important. It's not. Just learning to engage them both together and understand that if there is that voice that telling me that I'm not enough, or if there is an emotion that I feel right now that things don't work for me, or if there is a thought that creates a formula in my head that I believe that this is the truth, I will not be able to see with my actions what I the wanted results, and I will be stuck. On the other way, if there are other, you know, if the being is like, you know, I accept my, if I pay attention to my thoughts, if I understand that there is a fear or a limiting belief, I can take it high to the sky. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, in sports, we see that a lot, right? You can have two athletes that have the same abilities, but one is winning the game. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's that being energy that creates that win or lose experience or stuck.
Wow. You're just like dropping all kinds of knowledge bombs on this podcast. I mean, you know, that's something that I find a lot of people when, like, they're not coming to me for life coaching stuff, right? But mm-hmm. when they're coming and they're saying, I need some direction. Like, I don't know what. And more often than not, it comes from not being able to distinguish something. Like, they think they've got one challenge, but it's like, okay, well, you've actually got two separate things going on here. Going back mm-hmm. to what you said about the being energy and the doing energy, it's like, I would have just considered it to be all energy. Like, how do you manage your energy? What are you spending your time on? You know, and then now, thanks, I've got homework. I've got to think in terms of, okay, how much time am I spending being and how much time am I spending doing? Mm-hmm. My sticky notes that I use are going to get very cluttered very quick. So I hope my next podcast guest is like an organizational guru or something, because I'm like, you know, I got all this stuff. And I think a lot of people are going to get some cool stuff out of this. I've got one last question. So if you, as a business owner, if you had a piece of advice, like if you had some people that are new to being an entrepreneur or ones that have been in the game for a while, what piece of learning or piece of wisdom would you give them?
So it's not really mine, but I find that it's very helpful. It comes from Gretchen Rubin, but I know for me, feeling focused was very hard because I used to work in an organization and being accountable to other people, I was a get it done person, really easy for me. And suddenly I need to be accountable to self. Mm-hmm. And that's when it was really hard for me. And what she brings, Gretchen Rubin, I think it's very helpful, is how we are accountable. Do we need external accountability to be accountable to other people? Mm-hmm. Or we don't need it. Like my husband just like, I'm going to go into the room 1 hour later. It's just like, wham, bam. There are not a lot of people that are just like, I'm going to do that. And they sit and they do that. And they don't go to the Slack and the inbox. And it's like, you know, in the iPhone, right? It's like, we say we're going to do something, but we don't. And then we're frustrated with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when I got that and I work on that with other people, it's like, stop working against yourself. Stop sitting in front of the computer if you don't see results, and work deeply. So for me, knowing that I need external accountability and people right now, when you listen to me, start seeing how you create the systems for yourself. So I realized that I created a lot of external accountabilities without even knowing that. And you don't need to pay a coach to be accountable. Okay.
Right. Right.
So there are some areas that I will just have a partner. So I have what really cool thing, walking mastermind. It's networking where we meet outdoors. We walk, we talk about cool stuff. There is the whole system to that, but I have it with a partner. So we design the things together. We design the process of this whole networking thing together. I have a partner there that I'm accountable to. I have accountability partner that I meet with every week, the same hour, the same time. It's religiously important that we meet, and we designed it in the way that works for us to help ourselves grow with the business. Another thing I used to have for a long time is accountability group, what some people call mastermind groups. So I created a lot of different systems. When I wrote my book, my daughter, which is a teenager, really before the corona, you know, she likes to go to coffee shops. So we would go once a week to a coffee shop. She would do her homework and I would work on my book. And in between, we will just chat and she felt like cool and, you know, bonding time. But actually, her being kind of like persistent with mommy time in the coffee shop every Saturday morning allowed me to write my book. So I didn't realize until I learned that external internal accountability that for some of us, we need to create some accountability systems that help us move forward. Another way, by the way, is pets. We see now a lot of people, right, for mental health or to make ourselves walk. One of my clients told me, it's true. I got a dog that I will start running. So this is another way of external accountability. It doesn't mean that you need that for everything, but it's very, very helpful to help me sustain my business. There are other ways, but this is one of the ways that I think so liberating. On the other side, that the people with the inner accountability, I will say, most of them are very competitive, very competitive. So you can create kind of like a score, points for the goals for the week, and say emails get 1 point. I don't like to network, so that I'm going to give 30 points. So in the end of the week, you can see how many scores you got because you're a competitive persona, you will want to go on the bigger goal, on the bigger scores, and you can compete against yourself. I posted an article about that. And another person told me, I have an accountability partner and we compete against each other with our goals. So they took it even to the next level, which I thought was really cool. So external accountability versus internal accountability, and just don't work against yourself. What works for Michael doesn't work for me, doesn't work for another person, doesn't work for my husband or my daughter. Create your own system, make whatever works for you and work with that. I believe in that, again, religiously.
Yep.
We just need to listen to what I'm saying right now and say what works from what she's saying and what doesn't work, just leave aside. That's fine. But ask yourself, what is the system you can create for yourself? So I am a big believer that there is never one way of doing things, but then you can look and say, in that idea, what can I pull that can work for me rather than working against myself? So if I'm not able to sit and being accountable to self, don't waste time on, just find people or pets or whatever it is, your system to support you, maybe even plants, who knows.
Yeah, very, very cool. Noah, my brain is full. there's so much awesome learning in here, and I know we have barely scratched the surface. How would people reach out to you? I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in the situation that you can help, so how would they contact you?
Thank you. First, thank you. I appreciate what you said. They can find me on my website, which is Noah, N-O-A, there is no H. So N-O-A Ronan, Noah Ronan Coaching, .com. That's my website. So my first name, last name, coaching. Or just look for me on social media. It's the same everywhere. Noah, N-O-A-R, like for my last name, coach. Noah R. Coach. Feel free to reach out, chat with me. I'm always open for a conversation. So always welcome that.
Nice. And your English is really good. You didn't mess up a single word.
Well, it should be after 15 years in the U.S. I'm a citizen, for God's sake.
I know, right? Your English is much better than my Hebrew. I don't know very much, but I know enough to be dangerous to myself. Let's say that much. Here we go.
Do you know to curse in Hebrew?
No, not yet. I know some basic things, like, you know, if I were ever to be a tourist over there, I could probably figure some things out, but
that's
someday,
awesome.
Someday. Well, listen, it's been awesome chatting with you, and I look forward to getting this out. I think a lot of people need to hear what you've got to say. So as soon as the episode gets scheduled, I'll let you know, and we'll go from there, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
Anytime. I did too. Well, take care. Have a good rest of the day.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.